720 at AM 930 WEOL. I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
And we have joining us this morning on the line Julie Silverbrook, who is the executive director of the Constitutional Sources Project, here to talk about the 225th anniversary of the ratification of the Bill of Rights. Julie, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So the Bill of Rights is 225 years since the ratification. What kind of things are happening for this celebration?
Yeah, so this is obviously a milestone anniversary for the Bill of Rights today. As you mentioned, is its 225th anniversary. My nonprofit, the Constitutional Sources Project, along with the National Archives, we're hosting a special Bill of Rights Day event this evening at 7 p.m., and that's a program that will be available for folks all over the country who want to tune in on YouTube. If you go to the National Archives YouTube channel, you can see a panel of three distinguished federal judges discuss the Bill of Rights in the 21st century. And there are other events and special celebrations happening all over the country.
You know, a lot of people know the story of the Constitution, how that was developed. What about the Bill of Rights?
Yeah, so I think folks know a little bit less about how the Bill of Rights came into being. And I think some folks might be surprised to know that when the Constitution was submitted to the states for ratification in September of 1787, it didn't have a Bill of Rights attached to it. And in fact, it wasn't until 5 days prior to the end of the Constitutional Convention that George Mason of Virginia even proposed that a Bill of Rights be added to the Constitution, and his proposal was near unanimously rejected. The prevailing view was that the state constitutions, most of which had a Declaration of Rights attached to it, that those were sufficient and that it was unnecessary to have a federal Bill of Rights. That, of course, is not the end of the story. There's a group called the Anti-Federalists. These are folks who oppose ratification of the Constitution. They really rally around this lack of a Bill of Rights, and James Madison, who is called the father of the Constitution because of his role in writing the Constitution, is truly the father of the Bill of Rights. He comes to be persuaded that it makes both political sense and that a Bill of Rights could have real value, and so he goes ahead and proposes the Bill of Rights, and it goes through the House and the Senate. And then it gets submitted to the states, actually has 12 amendments. The first two don't get ratified in 1791, but the 10 that we now call our Bill of Rights get ratified on this day in 1791 when Virginia votes to ratify the amendments.
Some Bill of Rights have better, sometimes almost PR. They're more popular, they're more celebrated in a sense than others. But what are some other Bill of Rights that were not always so popular but still are very important to us?
Yeah, I mean, I think the criminal justice amendments, or the Fourth, Fifth, really the Fourth through Eighth Amendments, those are really important. But I think if you haven't been prosecuted, it's not something that you necessarily think about every day. So I think folks should spend some time looking at that, because that's really foundational. Those are core values as well. But folks tend to think more about the First Amendment, free speech, free exercise of religion, the Second Amendment, certainly the right to bear arms. The Fourth Amendment sometimes comes up, with the prohibition against unreasonable searches and seizures and folks who are concerned about their privacy rights. But really, the right to a jury trial, the right against self-incrimination, those things are very, very important, but it may not be something that you think about again, unless you're involved in, a criminal proceeding.
I have a suggested question here. Says, is owning a pet a right enshrined in the Bill of Rights? What can you tell me about that?
It's not. So a survey released last year by the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania found that about 1 in 10 Americans, about 12%, said that the Bill of Rights included the right to own a pet. Sorry to say it doesn't, but that statistic, while amusing, really underscores the need for folks to get out there and actually educate themselves about their constitutional rights. My standard line is, you can't defend what you don't understand. So if you don't understand what your rights are, you can't possibly go about the process of defending them. And so that's why Consors and a group of other nonprofit organizations and some for-profit organizations have come together to form a national constitutional literacy campaign just to get folks excited about learning about the Constitution and Bill of Rights. And we hope that on this historic anniversary, folks will at the very least go and read the Bill of Rights.
We are talking this morning with Julie Silverbrook, who is the Executive Director of the Constitutional Sources Project, about the 225th anniversary of the ratification of the Bill of Rights. It happened December 15th, 1791. A lot of times when there's an amendment to something, it's because something precipitated that. In other words, something happened and someone said, you know, we really need to put something this so that going forward it doesn't happen again. Is that the case with a lot of the amendments, or are there other reasons that these amendments were created?
I mean, I think some of them are responsive to facts on the ground. So I think the Third Amendment, which is the prohibition against the quartering of soldiers in peacetime, that's a direct response to things that happened during the Revolutionary War. Other things like the freedom of speech and the free exercise of religion, you know, that really comes from a sort of a longer tradition of the recognition of certain individual rights and is not necessarily responsive to particular things happening at the time. That's certainly true of later amendments to the Constitution. You know, the amendment prohibition, the 18th Amendment, and then, of course, the 21st Amendment, which repeals the 18th Amendment, that's responsive to certain social factors on the ground. And that would also be true of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, which we call the Reconstruction Amendments, and that's a direct response to the Civil War. But by and large, what's in the Bill of Rights just has a much richer lineage that can be traced back to sort of early British history as well.
Right, and the fact that we're talking about still in the 1700s, after the Constitution and all that had put together, the things have to get put in place, and there's always other ones that are thought of later or something that they think, you know, this really needs to be added to it. But I guess people can find out more information. Where's a good place? Where's a good source, I guess, Julie, for them to get some details?
So they can, if they want to read the Bill of Rights today and explore the history of the Bill of Rights, they can go to www.consource.org, consource.org. And if they want to learn more about all of the great organizations that host programs around Bill of Rights Day to see what's happening locally, they can go to constitutiondays.org. That's the National Constitutional Literacy Campaign website.
We appreciate your time this morning. Are they going to have a Bill of Rights cake? Do you know what the celebration cake might look like for this anniversary today?
You know, the rumor is that the National Archives is going to have a Bill of Rights cake at some point today. I don't take my word for that. I'm not 100% sure. I know they do it for Constitution Day, and I'm pretty sure they just print a copy of the of an image of the Bill of Rights onto the cake.
Wow, that's high technology there. Appreciate your time this morning, Julie. Thank you. Julie Silverbrook, the Executive Director of the Constitutional Sources Project, again celebrating the 225th anniversary of the ratification of the Bill of Rights. Julie, have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Bill of Rights Day.
729 at WEOL. Craig, we need to get a cake for today.